This podcast is sponsored by Hercules Strong Guard Tires. Visit HerculesTiresCommercial.com to learn more.
Now, it's Red Eye Radio. Gary McNamara and Eric Harley talk about everything from politics to social issues and news of the day. Whether you're up late or you're just starting your day, welcome to the show. This is Red Eye Radio.
All across America and around the world, 866-90-RED-EYE. He is Eric Harley and I'm Gary McNamara. Welcome and good morning. Thank you so much for being here this morning.
Thank you.
Well, here it is. A group of Republican and Democratic lawmakers announced Wednesday that they had struck a deal with President Joe Biden on a potential infrastructure package. The senators will meet with Biden on Thursday, although they said that his advisors confirmed that they had signed off on the compromise. The plan would reportedly include $579 billion in new spending, including several ways to offset the cost of the infrastructure package, which are, we don't know. The White House senior staff had two productive meetings with the bipartisan group of senators who have been negotiating about infrastructure. The group made progress towards an outline of a potential agreement. So now it's not a potential agreement.
It's
I believe it's an outline for the framework of a potential deal. And the president has invited the group to come to the White House tomorrow to discuss this in person. Although the plan has the backing of a bipartisan group of senators in the White House, it remains unclear to what degree Democrats and Republicans support the package. Romney said on Wednesday, Republicans and Democrats have come together along with the White House, and we've agreed on a framework on infrastructure, and we're going to be heading to the White House tomorrow. The senators released a statement last week emphasizing the infrastructure package would not increase Americans' taxes. Right. So what do? You put it on future generations. Look, here's the danger on this. We warned about it. Wall Street Journal warned about it. If you can get where you don't need to use reconciliation and you can get 60 votes to pass $579 billion in infrastructure, it doesn't end there. The Democrats get what they want, which is, okay, we got close to $600 billion. Now let's put something else through reconciliation.
Right.
And Wall Street Journal warned on that. They said, look, if this is the end of it, then fine. But it's not the end of it.
It won't be, because they're not about to let their shot at reconciliation again just go. They're not going to just sit it aside and say, okay, we're done.
Right. They have one more reconciliation to go. Right. And now this can be a much smaller package, the reconciliation one, on top of this one to get Biden to where he wishes to be.
Right. Right.
They want $2.3 trillion or $4 trillion, whatever it would be. Well, this takes off if you're attempting to get this year the $2.3 trillion and then say, okay, next year we'll get the rest of it up to $4 trillion, the American, whatever the family's thing is. What the official name of it is, the American Family something. Well, then you just take $600 billion off the $200, and then you say, okay, the next package is simply going to be $1.6 or $1.7. And we pass that through reconciliation. Manchin jumps on board for that one. Sinema jumps on board for that one. And they simply say, well, we got bipartisan on the $600 billion, and we only passed a bill that was $1.6, and originally it was supposed to be $2.3. So, hey, we've cut that for you. Just simply not mentioning the sucker Republicans who agreed to spend $600 billion.
Right.
In new spending.
Right.
And that's the problem all along the way here in that one. So we'll see what happens on it and see where we goes. Once dismissed as a conspiracy theory, 60% now believe, it keeps going up every week, 60% of the country now believes COVID-19 was created by scientists and leaked from a lab in China, according to a Fox News survey. That's nearly double the 31% who think the pandemic started naturally. That majority is largely comprised of 78% of Republicans, 58% of independents who blame the lab leak. But get this, 41% of Democrats agree. That's huge. That is huge. Because that means 41%, in essence, are agreeing even more. Trump came out last week. Did you see what he said last week? He said, look, I don't know if it was intentionally done, but I believe it came from the lab one way or another.
Right.
Well, this is saying, no, it was it was created by science and leaked.
Right.
And it wasn't from nature. This was actually created. This means the whole thing of the, I almost said critical race theory. Yes, critical race theory is what caused the virus to be juiced up, gain of function.
Mm-hmm.
That they believe that it was created and then leaked. And that goes beyond a little bit what Trump even said last week. And that's 41% of Democrats. That's huge.
So it's not just John Stewart then?
No, not just John Stewart. Nope.
This is why we don't get our science from celebrities. The left loved Jon Stewart until he said that. Until he went on that rant on Colbert. That's a big deal. 41% of Democrats believe? Wow.
41, yep. Yep. 79% of Republicans, 58% of independents. And the thing is, though, it's going up each and every week.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. So, well, and the thing is, if you just say, well, leaked from a lab naturally or whatever, you know, leaked because because that would be the point that it went from animal to human, and then they had it in the lab, they were able to get it from nature and do it, it'd probably be a few points higher than that with independents.
Right.
So it's a losing proposition. Remember, this isn't that old. This is what, 3 weeks old? That the lab theory gained it? So in 3 weeks, look at the change in the American public and look at the fact that you're moving now. You could get very soon a plurality of Democrats to agree. That's huge.
And to be clear, there hasn't been, we're not getting new data, new information from an investigation in terms of facts or anything related to this. There's nothing new.
There's nothing new, but it also, the pressure continues as those numbers aren't going to go in the, unless they come up with the evidence that it was passed strictly from nature to human being. And I don't know anybody. I mean, they all looked at it and said, you know, the lab theory is becoming more credible, even with scientists.
Right.
Each and every day. But the fact is, politically, with the Biden administration not really focusing on this, they don't seem concerned about it. Even see if Biden does a thing on this.
Well, yeah, we're really concerned about the coronavirus and its origins. It's
like he was yesterday.
Yeah,
I'm really bored being up here, but I can't keep my train of thought.
I didn't get
bored
COVID because I do push-ups.
You know, and if you think that if you're not worried about COVID, then I'm going to throw a nuclear bomb or an F-15 at you.
Let COVID come at me. Let's see how that works out for COVID.
But the problem is,
come on, man.
There's it because you have now a majority of Americans and the majority of independents and almost a plurality of Democrats that believe it, the pressure is on to do something about it, and they seem not to care about it.
Right.
It seems not to be a worry, and all those Americans, now 60% and probably even higher if you just say lab leak, natural, or created by scientists. It's probably higher than that, and here they don't want to get... And then question, do you believe there was a cover? Here's the question. If it leaked from the lab either naturally or was created by scientists... Not leaked naturally, it would, you know, but it was created naturally, leaked from a lab, or created by scientists and leaked from a lab. Do you believe the Chinese covered it up? What do you think that I think you might have 70% of independents, and probably you would have at least half of, if 41% of Democrats believe it was created by scientists and leaked from a lab, then the majority would believe that China has covered it up.
I would think so. I think it would be 50 or above on Democrats.
If you ask that question. So yeah. It means a landslide number of Americans believe that China's covered it up, and the Biden administration seems to have no interest on something that decimated the world and specifically the United States, because we're dealing with politics here in the United States, devastated the country. People lost their jobs. Probably everybody knows somebody who died because of COVID, and they're like, whatever. Yeah, we'll try to get the World Health Organization. You mean the organization that already was a tool to the Chinese? Oh, no, we're not really going to pressure them. That came out earlier this week, right?
Yeah,
we're not really going to do much about it.
Right.
Well, there's going to be no ultimatum. We're not going to pressure them at all. The American public are saying, my God, the country was shut down. People's lives, 50% of people think that their lives will never be the same.
You know, I really wonder on foreign relations and everything going on, if the first thought inside the White House is we need to make sure that we don't go too full on with anything because the president will not be able to sustain a schedule like that. I think G7 was a harsh lesson. I think they're looking at it going, look, if we wanted to put pressure on China, what would that entail?
That would entail press conferences. And
press conferences.
Questions.
It would entail other foreign leaders likely coming to the White House to sit down and discuss that, putting, you know, because that's what you would want. You would want all of our allies to help put the pressure on China, because the U.S. isn't going to go that alone. I mean, they could, but they're not going to. And by the way, they shouldn't. We should have the world, all of our allies with us, standing right behind us, supporting us and putting pressure on China to make sure we get to the truth. Now, or in an effort to get to the truth. But you would have to, in order to make that happen, deal with Putin, there would be a number of press conferences and events where this president is going to be vulnerable, and they don't want that. You're not going to see this president acting out against China or Russia, and certainly when it comes to Iran, we already know what's going on there. That's anything but putting pressure on Iran. You're actually putting them back in the game.
Well, what you do is you get every single, you know, you start. Remember, people were visiting Trump. People visited Obama. I mean, world leaders come.
Right.
And you say the world leader's going to be coming over here, and we're going to talk about the fact that we need to be unified as a world to find out where COVID came from the Chinese. And so you get the world leader comes over, and you bring over, in a period of a couple of months, you bring over 20 different world leaders to show that you have a coalition.
Yep.
And then you speak afterwards and both do it. He can't do that.
No.
He cannot do a joint press conference with a leader from any other country in the world right now. We saw they didn't want to do it with Putin.
Right.
And it didn't matter. It still came off as an unmitigated disaster because he keeps drifting off.
Yep.
So you're right. They really can't do anything major right now.
No.
They can't do anything major on any issue because it entails him going out in public and answering questions or having byplay with another world leader going back and forth in the public, at least in a cordial way, and they can't do any of that right now because they don't trust the president out there on stage.
He would be too exposed.
866-90-RED-EYE.
Every driver knows the cost of replacing tires is a major expense. What if you could save on tire costs without sacrificing performance or safety? Consider Retreads, a sustainable, cost-effective way to rack up your miles. You may already know that Retread tires offer a cost savings, but what else do you know about them? You may be surprised to learn that more than 80% of all aircraft tires in the U.S. today are Retreads. From fighter jets to school buses, Retreads move some of the most important cargo across many industries. They can also help you move your load, too. Before you make your next tire purchase, talk to a TA Truck Service tire expert about which retreads may be right for your vehicle.
This maintenance tip is brought to you by TA Truck Service. More bays, more expertise, more solutions.
Coming up, more with Gary McNamara and Eric Harley. It's Red Eye Radio.
It's Red Eye Radio. He is Eric Harley, and I'm Gary McNamara, 866-90 Red Eye. Breaking news from the last hour from Surfside, Florida, outside Miami. A multi-story building, it looks like a condominium complex, has partially collapsed, but it looks like a big part of the building, looking at the rubble right now.
Yeah.
This is, and from what we know, there was no explosion.
No.
This looks like a building collapse, and you're talking about, from what we know, a 12-story condominium complex.
This is, in fact, Miami-Dade Fire Rescue says they have over 80 units on the scene here. And as you mentioned, if it indeed, it is the address of a condo. This would be 12 stories. You would think that there would be people in there. However, there's no word from Miami-Dade Fire Rescue on any fatalities or injuries just yet. But again, this story breaking in the last hour out of the Miami area in Surfside, Florida. This building is just partially rubble. Right. I mean, it's just one side of this building just came down.
I mean, you're talking it from what it looks like, and I'm saying this speculating because of the debris field. I don't know if you're looking at are you looking at the CNN photo?
I'm at the Miami Herald.
Okay, but, I'm looking at the CNN photo right now, mm-hmm. which shows and you see the debris field next to the part that's still standing, and it looks like it if the debris field is any indication of how wide the part of the building that collapsed was, it's pretty big. You're talking about a number, possibly dozens of condominiums that just crumbled right down to the ground. It's
right.
You look, this is something that initially when I saw it, it reminded me a little bit when you looked at the side of it, like Oklahoma City.
Yeah, it did.
Like you had a car bomb that went off.
Right.
Now there's no report of an explosion whatsoever, but it looks like it was almost just ripped right off. But it does give you an indication, if you've ever seen car bombs before, what they look like. But there's no indication. I want to make it clear. There's no indication. But just so you understand the kind of devastation of this building, to put that, you know, image in your mind, as if it was almost a side of it was just sheared right off.
Miami Beach police said that the collapse happened at 8777 Collins Avenue there in Surfside. That's the address of the beachfront 12-story Champlain Towers, with more than 100 condo units. And again, the collapse happened at around 2 a.m. local time on Thursday morning. The building is a block north of Miami Beach city limits. This coming from MiamiHerald.com. They have been updating this story over the last hour. The town of Surfside runs along Collins Avenue south of Bell Harbor. Condos and motels line this Collins Avenue in that area. No word yet from Miami-Dade Fire Rescue on any injuries and fatalities. But according to the Miami Beach Police, this is the address of a 12-story, 100-unit condo building. And it is partially collapsed, and it is just...
Yeah,
at least it looks like about half of it is just gone. It's just rubble.
And that's just by looking at the size of the debris field, which all the pictures don't show. And looking at the CNN picture that I looked at, I don't know, that I've looked at online, you look at the debris field and then the part that came down, and you're talking, you know, it looks like four or five rows of possible rooms of condominiums that possibly have come down. But
yes, right.
This, it looks extremely, extremely serious.
Yeah.
Things are getting stupider
and even more stupider. Eric Harley and Gary McNamara on Red Eye Radio.
And he's Eric. I'm Gary. 866-90-RED-EYE. We were just telling you about the breaking news from the last hour. Condominium tower. It's the Champlain Towers South Condominiums in Surfside, Florida. The building is partially collapsed. This is a huge collapse. I mean, I've covered news for a long time and seen building collapses, but I don't think I've ever seen anything of this size, roughly 12 stories high, and this would be in Surfside, Florida, outside of Miami at the Champlain Towers South Condos at 8777 Collins Avenue in Surfside, Florida. This is a witness who was either staying at a hotel right next to the condominiums or across the street. I'm still not sure where he was located, but he was there filming it just as the firefighters were arriving.
This is our hotel. We are right there on the second floor. The building, one of these huge buildings, gone. Right here beside us, the craziest thing I've ever heard in my life.
And then there's some problems with his phone. Here we go. And
look at the building. It's gone. It was however many stories. It's just the parking elevator. The whole building gone. It was beautiful. Gone. We're right here on the second floor. Look at the, oh my God.
Yeah, he was across the street. I did finally see where he was aiming his camera or his phone camera. And then he had apparently had some problems with the camera a little bit, but it's pretty massive. It's a 12-story condominium. And when you look, and the thing is, it shocks you when you originally look at it, you say, well, is it just part of it that fell off? And then you see the debris field underneath it.
The debris pile is over 20 feet high. And if it is shocking to look at. Because there's no word yet on a cause. Obviously, it's very early. This happening it happened at roughly 2 a.m. local time. So it's been a little over 2 hours, 2.5 hours ago, roughly, that it happened. The reports started coming out of that area in the last hour. And then pictures along with those reports started coming out as well. And as we've been following this breaking news, we're trying to get information, but Miami-Dade Fire and Rescue doesn't have. They have over 80 units right now on scene at this partial building collapse. So that tells you the great concern there and how big of an event this is. But no word on injuries just yet or fatalities just yet or the cause of this collapse. And again, we have to, I think we have to repeat that there's been no reports of any explosion. None of the witnesses that I've read or videos that I've watched that had witnesses mentioned reports of an explosion, just the collapse. Of course, the collapse like that is going to make
a lot of noise.
Yeah. And you're actually, if you're on that block, you're going to feel something like that. So again, we don't know what, because authorities don't know just yet what caused this partial building collapse. Again, 100-unit condo building, 12 stories high there, and it's beachside. This is north of Miami Beach in Surfside, Florida, has partially collapsed. We don't know how many units were collapsed in this partial building collapse, but from the pictures, it's a significant portion of that building, possibly half of that building, if not more.
Yeah, it's again, initially we were looking at some pictures early on, and you could tell that part of the building was sheared off, but you didn't know if it was just one section of it. And then the debris pile, that's where the shock comes in, where you say, you know, that it would be, let's put it this way, if there weren't any casualties, if there aren't any casualties in that, it'll be a miracle.
It will be, yeah.
And if there aren't any casualties, it means nobody was in those condos. I guess I would have to say it that way.
Right.
Because it's devastating. And when I first saw it, the first thing I looked at it, and I said, well, they say a collapse. That's all you hear is collapse. You don't hear anything about an explosion. And when you look at it, the first thing you think of is, because that's what I thought of. It looks like Oklahoma City, where the part of the building is just sheared off. It's the sheer kind of thing that you a lot of times recognize. As I remember when I first saw the Murrah Federal Building, it looked like car bombs that you'd seen in the Middle East and other places around the world. And that's ended up what it was. Nobody is saying that's the case here at all. No one. That's what it looks like, that kind of sheer, just to try to give you a description of what it looks like if you haven't seen the pictures of it yet.
Doing some research on this building, and I don't know what updates might have been done over the years, any structural updates, but according to one website, this Champlain Towers, again, a 12-story condo unit, 100 units total in this building, is this in fact 40 years old. It was built in 1981. And so, again, we don't know that there have been any improvements or anything along the way. Just trying to, again, look at what might be the cause of a partial collapse here. And it could be a number of things. In Florida, they have sinkholes on a regular basis. We don't know if it could be something like that. In the foundation on one side of that building, because again, if you look at the pictures, the other side of that building is still standing. Hopefully it has been evacuated by now if there were people in it. But if it was built in 1981 and they weren't going through renovations, there's a decent chance there were people inside that building when it partially collapsed. Again, it's a condo building, 100 units. Don't know how many units were affected directly as a part of that collapse, but it is shocking to look at.
Yeah, it really, really is. And we'll keep you updated on any new information that we get on that. Meanwhile, in other news, it's finally happening.
Mm-hmm.
I can't believe that this isn't bigger news.
Yeah.
Maybe it will be today. The government of Great Britain is going to announce as early as today a ban on junk food advertising online completely.
Hmm.
And before 9 p.m. on television, starting apparently in 2023. The new measures, which will be some of the toughest marketing restrictions in the world, will heavily impact, this from the Guardian UK, the more than £600 million spent by brands on food advertising online and TV annually.
All right.
The 9 p.m. ban on the pre 9 p.m. ban on advertising on TV products,
mm-hmm,
deemed to be high in fat, salt, and sugar.
Yeah, there's a lot of things there because orange juice is high in sugar.
You're absolutely right.
And
could cost TV broadcasters as much as £200 million a year in revenue.
What about restaurants? Restaurants' menus include dessert. What about?
I mean, if they decide to advertise it.
Right.
If they have, I don't know. I don't know if they advertise the food.
What about a bakery that wants to advertise? Right. They can't do that? Yeah.
They say the product can't.
Hmm.
Junk food advertising. So I don't know if that means you can't, a McDonald's can't advertise at all, or, you know, can't advertise, or a Burger King or an IHOP.
That's the product.
Are they going to say you can't advertise? Well, no. I mean, the actual meal itself. Mm-hmm. The burgers, whatever, you can't do that, but you can advertise. I don't know if it includes the ban on the company that produces it or the actual product.
I don't know what else McDonald's would advertise.
Yeah, they don't have anything else to advertise, really.
That's the point.
Right. The online ban would affect all paid forms of digital marketing, from ads on Facebook to paid search results on Google, text message promotions, and paid activity on sites such as Instagram and Twitter.
Wow. Man.
Let me ask you this.
Hmm.
would that be constitutional in the United States?
No. No.
Are you thinking the current court makeup? That might be a 9-0 decision. Well, no, except for what's her? Except for Kagan, yes. Mm-hmm. Except for you. Thank you. You remember what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
When she was asked whether the government should be able to tell you what kind of food to eat, and she wouldn't answer the question.
Right.
It would be 8-1.
During Kagan. Her confirmation hearings, yeah.
Yes.
No, it wouldn't be. But it's interesting to look at this and then again question, all right, a number of things that fit that category that at this point people don't categorize as junk food. I mean, it all gets back to, if you're actually using common sense, it gets back to everything in moderation. But if this were here domestically, you would probably have some people on the far left cheering it.
Yes. Yeah. Like they did in New York with the soft drink. Remember the
Well, because what's soft the drink what's ban. The idea of this Which whole before 9 p.m. thing, right? What does that mean? Well, why is that significant? Well, because the after 9 p.m., that's when the adults are awake and kids go to bed at 9 p.m. Mm-hmm. So after that, there's less exposure to children. Yeah, but the children don't drive. The children don't have their own money to spend. It takes an adult to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And so you're going to control it on every single level, including social media. That's insane. That's insane. So what happens to these products? So what happens to the, again, because it has to include restaurants.
Well, and here's the thing, too, that you look at. For example, brand-only advertising online and TV will continue to be allowed. That means a company often associated with poor dietary habits, such as McDonald's, will be able to advertise as long as none of the products that are on the list appear.
Then what would you right. advertise? Because you can't have someone, they're going to be sitting there in a restaurant with nothing in front of them. They're going to be driving through.
Right. You can't announce, you can't, for example,
water.
Probably you can't do, if you had a new Big Mac, you can't announce that. But the government is also, also to exempt a range of products from inclusion in the ban after the definition of junk foods proposed last year would have meant that advertising, including avocados and certain fruit, could not be on it because of their sugar content.
Exactly.
And ice cream,
which is a lot of the
blocked.
Food, actually. Yes.
These will include products not considered as traditional junk food, such as honey and jam, but would also cover zero sugar drinks and McDonald's nuggets.
It would cover zero sugar drinks.
Zero sugar drinks would be exempt.
Okay. Yes. And the exemption it would cover.
Yes, an exemption. And so would honey and jam. But honey and jam has a ton of sugar in it.
Mm-hmm.
So what's going to happen is, and that's why it'd be unconstitutional in the United States, because you'd have some sugar things that have a tremendous amount of sugar in, some fruits, for example, more than some of the things that would be banned because they had less sugar, but this would be like an assault food ban.
Well, no.
Wait a minute. It looks like a bad food. Therefore, it needs to be banned.
The next logical step is to do what? You cannot purchase at any given time any more than, what, 10% junk food.
Yeah. But small and medium companies with less than 250 employees will continue to be allowed to advertise junk food products. That would make it unconstitutional in the United States.
Yes. And
at that point, there'd be free speech.
And they have much less in terms of budgets. They don't have the budgets that the big guys have. So that's not going to be a big deal.
866-90-RED-EYE.
Lines open for your calls. 866-90-RED-EYE on Red Eye Radio.
It's Red Eye Radio. He is Eric Harley, and I'm Gary McNamara, 866-90 Red Eye. Yeah, I just don't see how that would be viewed as constitutional. That would be shot down if that was tried in the United States to ban the advertising of junk food, as apparently is happening now in Great Britain. So there you go for freedom of speech.
Right. Yeah. it'll be interesting to watch the reaction to that. And it's been in the works for a while, so you know the discussion isn't new. But you know, you've got businesses big and small that are affected by this, but they don't care. They think this is going to change their society. It isn't.
No.
This is Red Eye Radio on Westwood One. Now, it's Red Eye Radio. Gary McNamara and Eric Harley talk about everything from politics to social issues and news of the day. Whether you're up late or just starting your day, welcome to the show. From the Pilot Flying J Studios, this is Red Eye Radio.
All across America and around the world, 866-90 Red Eye. He is Eric Harley, and I'm Gary McNamara. RedEyeRadioShow.com is where we stream our show live, or you can get our app, put it on your phone, listen 24/7, 365. In the news this morning,
the Second Amendment, from the day it was passed, limited the type of people who could own a gun and what type of weapon you could own. You couldn't buy a cannon. Those who say the blood of patriots, you know, and all the stuff about how we're going to have to move against the government. Well, the tree of liberty is not water of the blood of patriots. What's happened is that there are never been, if you wanted to think you need to have weapons to take on the government, you need F-15s and maybe some nuclear weapons. The point is that there's always been the ability to limit rationally.
Nobody knows how he got to that point of the Second Amendment and what that has to do with that, the thought process of the founding fathers on the Second Amendment, what that has to do with the crime that is rapidly escalating in the streets today. 75% of handguns that are used are illegally obtained. The federal government yesterday, through Biden and the Attorney General, made it clear that the only way to fight crime is to get assault weapons off the street, which isn't the case, because assault weapons are used in a very, very, very minuscule number of crimes that are committed out there. And by going after federal gun licenses of people who break the law. And that's extremely rare. It's not going to do anything instead of looking at the root causes of why the cities have exploded and crime rates have exploded over 500% last year. According to National Review, the murder rate increased the highest in history. Portland, Oregon, over 500%. Crime in general, 800% in Portland. Those numbers are just unbelievable, and everybody knows why. It's because the governments have said, we will enable chaos. We will enable crime. We will enable riots. We are okay with it. The police are at fault. Trump is at fault. We don't care what happens to our city. Tear it down. Burn it down. That's okay.
Yeah, and of course, as they always do on the left, the president going after lawful citizens and their lawful ownership of guns. And we're going to control that. We're not going to worry about the crime because, well, when it comes to crime now, the far left has embraced the idea and wants you to believe that the criminals themselves are victims. They're doing this because, see, they've had a harsh life. They're doing this. They're committing crime because of what's going on with them economically and financially and everything else except for the fact that those individuals are responsible for that crime, They're not going to crack down on crime.
And then the presentation itself. New York Post. Is no one going to mention how confusing and out of it Biden was? President Biden's topic was one of the most utmost importance, if I can spit that out, Wednesday, crime and gun violence. But you would not have known it from the way that he spoke. He slurred his words. He called the ATF the AFT. At one point, he talked about the history of the Second Amendment and the blood of patriots before concluding that someone would need nuclear weapons to take down the government. If you weren't confused, you were horrified. Biden was obviously tired, speaking in barely a monotone. The media would pick apart every appearance of President Trump, saying even in news stories that he was manic, exhausted, or some other adjective. Yet a protective circle has formed around Biden, preventing them from stating the obvious. Biden, 78 years of age, looked out of it. Maybe Biden was having an off day, but he's having a number of them. And his team keeps hustling him off stage as the media shouts after him, making you wonder why they keep preventing him from answering questions. Well, we know why.
I don't wonder.
The American people will decide if the president has the energy or sharpness to lead us, but not. Let's stop acting like we're not allowed to mention it. Because we know. The G7 last week was where it really got out of control.
It was an embarrassment.
It really was.
And there is no situation, they know this now, there is no situation on a global stage with foreign leaders that doesn't expose the president, and they don't have that great risk of him doing what he has been doing lately, including yesterday, and mumbling his way through something that is a core agenda item for the left. Think about this. He can't get it done. They wanted him on what they call the Voting Rights Bill, this For the People Act, which didn't happen. They wanted him, and now they're going after him. They're not going after conservatives. It failed because he didn't go out and promote it. The far left doesn't like the fact that he can't go out and promote. Now, I believe that they know why he can't go out on tour and promote these agenda items. They know full well why he can't do that, because that includes plenty of interviews, and it includes taking questions on the fly from the media, and that's a problem. Even with Putin, what happened? They had all those questions screened, but yet he still wanted to go off script. I believe, and I've said this before, I believe that he's upset that they're controlling him, that he can't just sit there and talk like he wants to talk. But what you heard there about the whole, nuclear weapons and F-15s and all that mumbo jumbo, that was not scripted. But you brought up the good point earlier. My gosh, what if it was?
What if it was scripted?
If it was scripted, then that's even scarier. But I suspect that it's Biden, and he says it. Well, they tell me I shouldn't take another question, but I think that's him protesting. Well, they tell me I'm going to get in trouble for, and this is him protesting the fact that he has handlers, and I don't mean the usual handlers that a president has.
Well, the only reason I asked that question before, I said, what if it was scripted, is the fact that we come from our own analysis of things that, well, that's just so bizarre, it can't be. Mm-hmm. Well, from our point of view, yes, it is bizarre to bring up the F-15s and the nuclear weapons, because it has nothing to do with the crime that has increased drastically over the last year. It's a direct result of the liberals' policies in liberal cities. We all know it.
Mm-hmm.
We all know that's what it's about.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone knows it. It's like everyone knows that Biden is responsible for the border, but nobody really wants to say it. And so you see that. We see that from our point of view and say, well, that's just nuts. But remember, they believe the Second Amendment is responsible for all the problems we have. Mm-hmm. That it's the First Amendment, the Second Amendment. It's the Constitution that's the problem. So that's why I said that to you before when I went, well, what if this was not ad lib? What if this is, he's got a younger staff, they're all younger, they're trying to control the narrative, and so they tell him, this is what you should say.
Mm-hmm.
From our point of view,
obviously it had to be scripted because no president would say something that stupid.
But then again,
to bring up the thing that there was going to be an adversary relationship between the government of the United States and its people. You just don't bring it up, an armed insurrection where you, because if the people in the armed insurrection are going to need the F-15s and the nuclear weapons, well, then what are you using against them? Hmm. And so you just don't go there. There's no reason to even touch that. So, yeah, you're right. It's either he went off in his own and drifted off in his own, or
could be a combination of both.
Yeah, could be.
You know, that, look, focus on the Second Amendment. People don't talk about crime because a rising crime for a sitting president is never, ever good. Just focus on the fact that we can control, reasonably control the types of weapons you can buy. And by the way, nobody's arguing cannons.
By the way, I do believe you could own a cannon.
I don't think I actually do. I have to look up to that.
No. I mean, back then, I don't believe that there was any. I think if you had a cannon, it would be fine. I don't believe there was any assault cannon laws.
No.
Now, if you used it, there might have been a problem, but I don't think that back then. I'll have to look into that. I'm sure somebody will. Well, I first saw that, I go, wait a minute, if you're a farmer and you had a cannon, what government agency is going to stop you? The laws didn't even exist at that point. Every place was a rural area, so probably there were a lot of privately.
It wouldn't be highly unusual.
Right. It probably wouldn't have been highly unusual for somebody to own a cannon.
Well, I got mine at Bass Pro Shop.
Well, I just wondered that, and so we'll do some research on it because I went, well, maybe in a lot of places cannons weren't actually illegal back. Look, if we're going to get into the minutia to have fun with it, why not?
Well, was there a cannonball shortage much like the ammunition shortage there is currently? Yeah. But this is, again, them not addressing the real threat.
All right. Three things coming up next. Right. The problems, the three problems that Biden has just from yesterday alone, and they're huge problems.
Are we going to limit that to three because we're getting short on time?
Well, no, I said from yesterday.
Yeah,
major ones from yesterday.
I know.
All right, the three ones that I identified, you can identify all the rest.
We'll just try not to take too much of your time with all the problems from yesterday.
I swear, though, we said this earlier, we've said this many times before, yeah, he may look like Walter, the character, the character dummy from Jeff Dunham.
Mm-hmm.
He may look exactly like him, but he is becoming Izzy Mandelbaum.
He really is.
Seriously.
This is his ego.
I'm really expecting him to look at Jerry Seinfeld and go, it's go time.
Yep.
All right. The three things that I have, Eric has 30 more.
Right.
Coming up next, Red Eye Radio.
The U.S. drought picture in the near term is not optimistic.
Unfortunately for the Western United States, the drought is pretty well locked in until at least autumn to winter of the 2021-2022 cycle.
That was USDA meteorologist Brad Rippey.
The reason for that, especially in the far west, the Pacific Coast states, is that seasonal rainfall is minimal in the summertime, and we depend on that 5 to 6 month rainy season that starts in late autumn, ends in the spring, and you really don't see any meaningful precipitation in the summer months.
He says some rain tends to fall in the Rockies and Intermountain areas in spring and summer, and monsoon rains are expected in the southwest from July through September.
But it's unusual to see the rain heavy enough during the warm season to offset the effects of hot weather that is typical and seasonal for this time of year in the western U.S.
This is Stephanie Ho for the U.S. Department of Agriculture in Washington, D.C.
The USDA report is brought to you by Cenex Roadmaster XL Premium Highway Diesel Fuel.
Get in touch with Red Eye Radio toll free at 866-90-RED-EYE.
It's Red Eye Radio. He's Eric Carly, and I'm Gary McNamara, 866-90-RED-EYE. Okay, here are the three biggest problems that hit Biden yesterday. And they're big problems because two out of the three he reacted to yesterday. Number one is the murder rate and the crime rate in all these major cities. Right. He had to react to it.
Right.
Because it was being said that, you know, murder rates skyrocketed to a record level. So he has to come out with something. Now, we know that the president of the United States really has, I don't care whether it's Republican or Democrat, really has little impact over crime in cities by executive order. Right?
Yeah, sure.
Very little impact. So if you're going to have impact, as we said before, the way to come out is to say, look, we are ready to set up and dedicate this amount of money to set up a federal task force to go into these cities to stop the gangs, to help the police, to stop the rioting. This is going to be our major focus. If you riot, you go to jail. If you are in a gang, we're coming after you. We're setting up a federal, state, combination task force with local city governments, and we are going after the high crime areas. We will bring back stop and frisk, which is constitutional. Mm-hmm. Remember, you do anything you can in the for a certain amount of time to clean these areas up. Yep. That's what you do. If you really want to have impact and people to know that you're serious, that's what you do. But the fact is, he felt he had to respond to the criticism. Now he has responded with something that's not going to work. That doesn't help him. But he felt he had to respond. But what did he respond with? He couldn't respond with the truth that my party created this problem.
Right.
On the border, the same thing. He had to send Harris to the border finally. Why? Because Trump one-upped him. Trump was going to the border first.
Yep.
And so he had to react. The administration's now being extremely reactionary on the major issues. Crime, which we all knew had been, we've known it's been a problem for a year now. Mm-hmm. When the riots started and they ignored the riots and said, oh, mostly peaceful, and Biden wouldn't address it. This all goes back, you look at the border, his fault. You look at crime, Democrats' fault. And so Trump's going to the border with Governor Abbott of Texas. He's got to send Harris to the border.
Yeah.
Now, can they fix the problem? No, they can't. Fire the border chief. He's not doing his job. What's his job? To stop people from coming across the border. Why has it increased since the Trump administration? The American public, a majority, knows why. Because Biden caused it. So they're being reactionary on the problems that they've caused, and they're being reactionary without any type of solution.
Well, because the only solution is to go back, first of all, and rescind his own executive orders.
And then
that's the only way he's going to do that, and that's never going to happen.
And then the entire voting rights thing, the whole thing, voting rights, and the whole week before, if you read inside Washington publications and things that were going on, this vote, they knew they didn't have the votes for this.
Yeah, right.
They were only doing it because they believed that they could use it as a sledgehammer against the Republicans. The Republicans aren't voting for it, and we're claiming we're for voter ID.
Right.
Right?
Right.
Not photo ID, but voter ID. We're trying to make the case that if this debate happens, we'll eventually get to Manchin, and let's get some of the most radical people who have said voter ID is racist and have them flip-flop on it, and then we'll be able to pound the Republicans over the head with our political mallet.
Yeah.
Didn't work out that way.
No.
How did it work out? The left is attacking the Biden for not going out on tour, knowing that he can't go out on tour because he doesn't have the cognitive ability to go on tour like you'd have to do to push any type of major initiative and do interviews and talk to the press, and they know he can't do it. Those three things yesterday, I believe, were his biggest problems, and it's a microcosm of the problems he has every day.
Well, and going forward, the party has a problem here because now there's no question. He can't be the guy to go out and campaign for all the liberal agenda items.
No, he can't.
Because he can't be effective. He's not going to be effective. So who's going to be effective for them? Chuck and Nancy? Nope.
Nope.
They don't have the numbers in the Senate to get anything done.
There's no bully pulpit.
There isn't.
Doesn't exist.
I mean, there's a bully up there, but
but it's Izzy Mandelbaum from Seinfeld.
Here's your forecast.
Look for the possibility of some fairly intense thunderstorms today moving from the Omaha Valley into Missouri. Severe thunderstorm watches and warnings have been issued from Sioux City to Omaha and will extend along I-29 north and south in that region. Also along I-35 north and south from Kansas City to Des Moines and northwestern Missouri. Again, that's the area for severe thunderstorms throughout the day. Look for hail, lightning, and damaging winds along the I-70 portion between Topeka and St. Louis. A half dozen states in the West are still under excessive heat watches and warnings. Record-breaking heat today expected in Seattle, Washington, Spokane, the Sacramento Valley, and throughout the Pacific Northwest. We'll also see the triple digits for the desert southwest over through New Mexico and including Dallas-Fort Worth today into Oklahoma and Kansas. Your national forecast from Red Eye Radio, I'm meteorologist John Trout.
Say yes, and 50% say no. Gary McNamara and Eric Harley on Red Eye Radio.
And he's Eric Harley, and I'm Gary McNamara, 866-90-RED. I want to keep you updated to the breaking news overnight. A couple of hours ago, a condominium building outside of Miami, Florida, Surfside, Florida, there was a partial collapse of a 12-story condominium building in Surfside. It's at 88th Street and Collins Avenue, just north of Miami Beach. Happened around 2 a.m. Their time. The Miami-Dade Fire Rescue said over 80 of their units are on scene with an assistance. I was looking at some video from Eric from NBC6, Miami, NBC Miami. Of a boy being pulled from the rubble, and he looked conscious and everything. In fact, he looked fine, but he was being pulled from the rubble, and it's great that he looked to be okay. The one thing that I thought of at that point is because we were hoping that when you see the debris pile, you realize how big of a collapse and how many. There could be dozens of condominiums, you know, from 12 stories all the way down that collapsed.
Yeah.
We were hoping maybe there was some construction there and people weren't in it, but the fact of that boy being pulled indicates that in all likelihood there were quite a few people, especially at that time in the morning, that might have been in those condominiums. I do have some audio. This is one of the first witnesses at the scene who actually got there. Well, he was staying next door. He was staying next door at the hotel, and so they were immediately evacuated, and he was there as the fire rescue teams were arriving.
This is our hotel. We are right there on the second floor. The building, one of these huge buildings, gone. Right here beside us, the craziest thing I've ever heard in my life. Look at the road.
Again, there's some problems with this phone.
Look at the building. It's gone. It was however many stories. It's just the parking elevator. The whole building gone. It was beautiful. Floor. Look at oh my gosh.
There you go. You look at it, and when we first looked at it, you just weren't sure, and then we started seeing different photos of it, and it's really the debris pile that you can look at and you say, oh my, there's really some problems here.
Local reports indicate that this is roughly half of this building. It's 111 condo units in this building, 12 stories. It was built in 1981. I was doing some research to find out about, because these buildings are often renovated, and a lot of it is cosmetic stuff because they're selling these condos. These condos are listed for sale. I don't know if the price range in some of them is right around $500,000-$600,000. I don't know the market of Surfside and the Miami Beach area, but they are roughly one, two-bedroom size condos. And doing some online research, just looking at it, it appeared to be a building that was well-established. The neighborhood looks well-established. Again, along the beach, it is beachside. And it appears that the collapse, the part of the building that collapsed, is the part that is closest to the beach. It is off that main street. However, authorities, of course, have closed down that main traffic around that area for blocks. They have dozens and dozens of units. Miami-Dade Fire and Rescue has over 80 units alone dispatched in that area working right now. And so it is devastating and shocking to see. There were no reports of an explosion. One witness quote that I read a few minutes ago during the break said he thought it was a storm. He was in an adjacent building, and he thought there was a storm. It sounded, I guess, like thunder to him, but no reports of witnesses saying there was an explosion. So we don't know the cause. We don't know injuries or fatalities at this point.
ABC reporting at least 8 people hospitalized, one critical.
Okay. So and you can bet that if that building had an occupancy of 80 to 90%, there will likely be more throughout the morning as they work to find those individuals. And so now you have the cause. What could cause something like this? Miami is, known for sinkholes, or is it a structural problem that where, again, for whatever reason, maybe renovations or just the original design or something. Again, we don't know. But again, no one is reporting that witnesses heard any kind of explosion in the area of this, 111-unit condo building partially collapsing there north of Miami Beach. It's just about a block north of the Miami Beach limits, Surfside, Florida. Again, this building is 40 years old, and like many of them in that area, like many of them all over the country. And the question is, what would cause a partial collapse? Again, witnesses and media reports saying it looks like about half of the building collapsed.
You have, and this comes from CBS News, they have 9 now, at least 9 people taken to the hospital. No word of their condition. ABC reporting that one was in critical when they were reporting 8. And they talk about some of the witnesses. More than 80 units, along with other units from municipal fire departments, are there. A man who was evacuated from a local building said the building, one of these huge buildings, gone. The building is gone. The whole building's gone. That's not accurate, but it looks like a whole side of it. Oh, my gosh, this is the most insane thing I've seen in my life. A man who lives in the building next door told the station that at one point, as you just said, the building shook, and he thought it was a storm. When he looked outside, he didn't see anything. A tourist who was evacuated, tweeted out the video that we had already played. And they talk about partial collapse, because it is a partial collapse.
Right,
because part of the building's up there, and some of the responsibles, it doesn't look like partial, because it is, I don't know if you said it or I just, one of the reports I just read it in, they said a third or up to a half of the building, witnesses are saying, mm-hmm. is gone.
Right.
And so when you look at it, it looks like it just sheared off.
Mm-hmm.
It really does. When you look at it, it looks like a pretty, I don't mean to be insensitive, I'm just trying to describe it. It looks like a very clean cut, does it not?
Yeah.
A building separating from one,
right.
You would think more things might be hanging out, and it seems like a very clear cut. And so you wonder, what could have caused this? And, we bring up the things of sinkholes and what would take for what kind of large sinkhole to do something like that.
Right.
Or is it just, it wasn't engineered right?
Yeah, I was doing some research about the building, and on if you go on and you go to a Google Street View around this building, they do have parking under the building. I don't know how far down the parking goes, but it would likely be maybe one level or two, if not more, for parking under this building. And so then the question would be, all right, what would cause, what would compromise the structural integrity of this building? And on the natural level, you think of sinkholes. And then again, if it was a person that caused this, you would think that somebody would have heard something.
Looking at CBS News Twitter here, and I do have some audio here that I do wish to play. I believe it is an interview from CBS News. We just see a cloud of dust coming our way. A witness described being near the Surfside, Florida building that partially collapsed early Thursday morning. They're now reporting killing at least one person. Hmm. But here's part of that interview.
Here we spoke to one witness.
So basically, I was walking with my brothers and I. We were walking our dog in the neighborhood, and basically, we hear like a really big rumble, and we think that it was like a motorcycle, you know, like classic, early in the morning. And we turn around, and we just see a like cloud of dust just coming our way, and we're just like, what is going on? So we start like rushing towards that, you know, we put our shirts over our face so we don't get any like dust in our eyes and everything. And we go check it out, and the security guard of the building actually comes out, and we're like, yo, what happened? And she's like, the building collapsed.
That's from CBS News.
Hmm.
Wow. Yeah, it's just, when we first saw it, you're trying to get a handle from different, you know, angles of photos, and this was early on when it happened, and then it was, I think the realization is when you see the debris pile.
Yeah.
When you realize right. How big this possibly is, and if there are people now we know that are injured that have been pulled from that, that you could expect that more casualties and injuries
right. And
maybe deaths are coming our way, because it's, if it is half the building and they're talking about 100 units in that building, then you may be talking 40 to 50 units.
Right.
And at that time of the day or that time of the night, the vast majority of them probably were occupied.
Right.
And so we will keep you updated on that here for the rest of the show. And I'm assuming there's going to be a lot of you don't have collapses like this. This doesn't happen too often.
No.
You know, we've seen balconies collapse and porches collapse.
Right.
And something like this, to see a building. And this was built in the 1980s.
Yeah, 1981.
Yeah. So to see a building like it. And when I looked at it, I was saying, okay, it wasn't something that was built in the last 10 years.
Right.
But you could tell it was something that was probably built in the last 30 to 40 years. It had that still modern look to it.
Mm-hmm.
And they'll be able to find the cause of it. The engineers will be able to find out what, the investigators will be able to find what caused it, but it's really fascinating for a building this size to come down like that.
Right.
It just doesn't happen. 866-90-RED-EYE.
The fuel and exhaust systems inside diesel engines work closely together. As a result, fuel and exhaust-related issues can be some of the most difficult to diagnose. A symptom in one system can often arise from a problem in the other. Here is a common fuel and exhaust issue that might not be what it first appears. You're dealing with regions. Regeneration, a normal self-cleaning process inside your engine, is a prime illustration of how fuel and exhaust systems work together. Typically unnoticeable, regions occur inside a component called the diesel particulate filter, or DPF, a part of the exhaust system designed to control emission levels. If the fuel doesn't burn completely, the additional soot puts extra strain on the DPF. Sometimes to the extent that it can't keep itself clean enough to operate. When this happens, the equipment can't be used while it completes an aggressive and time-consuming reboot. To help equipment owners have less downtime, Cenex Premium Diesel is enhanced with Cetane Improver that provides a more complete burn, generating cleaner exhaust for a longer-lasting DPF.
This report is a service of Shell Rotella.
We'll be right back with more Red Eye Radio with Eric Harley and Gary McNamara.
It's Red Eye Radio. He's Eric Harley, and I'm Gary McNamara, 866-90-RED-EYE, talking about the breaking news overnight. A section of the Champlain Towers condominium
South, a Miami Beach condominium just one block from where Jared Kushner and Ivanka Trump are leasing a home, collapsed earlier this morning. We have just taken a look at, and Eric was just showing me and going point by point, looking at Google Earth, I'm assuming, looking at the actual building.
Yeah, the street view from Google Maps, and if you look at it, doing the comparison of the pictures coming out of this, again, a partial building collapse. It is a 111-unit condo building there in Surfside, Florida, just north of Miami Beach, about a block north of Miami Beach city limits, actually. And if you do the comparison of the before and after photos, you see how huge,
yes,
how much, yeah, of this building collapsed. Wow. And it shows that the reports are accurate. A third up to maybe a half of this building collapsed.
Yeah, I'm looking at a side-by-side of the collapse section. Insider has it, and it's just it's shocking when you see it. It's even more shocking than looking at the debris field.
Yeah,
the pictures, right, I've seen of that. When you see the entire section on Google Maps that was this building and what's left of it now, it is shocking. CBS reporting one woman has been killed and eight hospitalized. Mm. So far, nine casualties at this point. And it's just keep these people in your
They have over 80 units there, and there are other fire and rescue units from other areas that are assisting, yes, as well.
We saw one, CBS had the one boy being pulled alive from the rubble right now.
Right. This is a beachside condo building, again, 111 units. It was built in 1981. And you look at it and wonder how something like this happens, and in the middle of the night, again, what could be the cause of something like this? Again, no witnesses reported any sounds of an explosion.
No.
Just the sound of the collapse itself. And we'll follow this throughout the day.
This is Red Eye Radio on Westwood One.